Hello, everyone, and welcome to Validate Me, a podcast where me and my dad both show each other bits of media that we like, and we both hope that the other person likes it and will validate us.
We hope so. It's been going pretty good so far. So this is, this is episode 5, I think?
Maybe.
So we've been...
I think it is.
Yeah, I think this is the 5th one, and this is my third...
Third.
Recommendations for you. You've got two. We'll get my your third recommendations at the end of this. Also, about halfway through, we're going to take a little break again and do a couple of shout-outs to some people that have been really nice to the Validate Me podcast. So we'll say some nice things back, I hope. But in the meantime, why don't we do the housekeeping early on? Do you want to tell people how they can reach out and give us some feedback?
All right. So if you guys want to recommend things for us to try on the podcast, or if you... I can hear my mouth noises really loudly in my ears. It's scaring me. Mm-hmm. So if you guys want to recommend stuff for us to try on the podcast, then you can do that by sending us a tweet at validatemecast on Twitter or validatemepodcast@gmail.com via email. Mm-hmm. And you can also send us your thoughts on the things that we have recommended to each other on the videos. And you could just say whatever. You can tweet us a picture of a clam if you want.
You can also do it on the comment section of the YouTube video.
Yes, you can.
So we post on Fridays. It'll be on the YouTube channel, so you can just go check it out there. That's probably a good place to go too. We also, at the end of every week, we let you know what we're going to be talking about next week. So if you want to give us some feedback on the thing that we're going to be talking about, we'll roll that feedback into the show. And we'll add that in as things that we're going to talk about. Yeah.
Woo!
Sweet.
Yeah.
All right. So we got a couple of shout outs to come about halfway through. But first, what are we doing this week? What are we talking about? What did I assign you to do this week?
This week we are talking about Blade Runner, the original one from not 2007. When is it from?
I don't know.
1990 something. Whatever.
96-ish.
Then the new Blade Runner, which came out a few months ago, I think.
Blade Runner 2049. Yeah.
It was a good movie.
Still in theaters.
They're both good movies. Still in theaters.
Yeah, and this actually worked out pretty well because Frankie, our friend of the channel and friend of the podcast now, just coincidentally, she was recommending that maybe I ask you to watch something that is either a little controversial or was controversial at the time, or at least like generate a lot of conversation. Mm-hmm. And this definitely falls in that category. It was cool. I didn't see her recommendation until I had already asked you to watch these. And so it worked out really well. Like this is a good, like a Frankie pick almost, because there's a lot of conversation, and we'll dive into some of the concepts and some of the things that people talk about with these as we get going through. But so let's start with the original Blade Runner. And so we watched the final cut, which is sort of the director's cut. This is the extended-ish edition. I think extended. him dreaming about the unicorn was the really big thing that they added back in.
Ooh,
it was kind of important. So when Sean Ryan, the replicant, the girl that he fell in love with.
Oh, that's Sean Ryan.
Sean Ryan. When Sean Ryan was in his apartment and she was kind of changing her hair and looking less severe, kind of looking more humanish, I guess. Mm-hmm. And he fell asleep, like she was trying to talk to him, and he drifted off. He dreamt and saw a unicorn in his dream, and we'll talk about the significance of that here in a minute.
Yeah, unicorns,
But first, let's do just starting with the original Blade Runner final cut. Overall impressions, Presley?
I thought it was a good movie. It was so confusing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was, as was a lot of the stuff I've been watching for this podcast. Everything out of the 80s and 90s is so confusing.
Yeah, that may be true. This one's got especially its share confusing. Yeah, of confusion. Like, this is like heady sci-fi, right?
Heady.
So you go into it and you're thinking that you're going to get, you know, a bunch of stuff blowing up and some chase scenes and stuff, and that was much less of that than one might think from a cool sci-fi movie.
From a movie called Blade Runner, there were like a significant lack of blades and running,
which made
me sad.
The run, like when Roy was chasing him at the end through the kind of the mansion,
they were barely even running. They were like in a light jog.
Right, like that was more like a psychological horror kind of thing.
Yeah,
like him chasing him and like screaming, like, how does it feel to live your life in fear? This is what it's like to be a slave. Like there was a lot of the concepts of the movie that were being tossed out as part of that kind of. The chase scene was sort of cerebral. Right.
Really quickly, I want to talk about that a little bit, or something at least similar to that. is in the original movie, they have stuff that is shot with just the replicants in it. Mm-hmm. And then they have the stuff that is shot with, like, just the humans in it. And they had very different tones. It almost felt like I was watching two different movies.
Oh, interesting.
When I was watching the replicant people do replicant people things, it felt like a different movie than watching Harrison Ford do Harrison Ford things.
It's kind of interesting because they were supposed to be kind of childlike, right?
Yeah.
And they were. Like, when it was just them interacting, there was some very childlike things. And some of it was said kind of ironically. Some of the dialogue that was kind of childlike.
Yeah.
Like when Rutger Hauer, Roy, says, "You have some really amazing toys."
Yeah.
Like, part of that was kind of tongue-in-cheek, but part of that was also kind of, like, him being less than 4 years old reference kind of thing. It was a really interesting way to tie some of that stuff together. So, yeah, I that's a good observation, I think, like, seeing that they interacted very differently with each other than they did.
It was the color palettes.
Was it, you think?
Yeah. It was the color palettes.
So, people will argue, and I would argue, that one of the notes that I've got here is that in both of the movies, like, the cinematographer and, like, the set design people may be more important than the cast members.
There's a whole point.
Because, you know, they're so beautiful, and the locations and the atmosphere is so important to these movies that it probably even overshadows a lot of the performances in the movies. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a character in the movie, the set design. So I think you're absolutely right. That the way they lit the shots and shot things when it was just the replicants together would be very different than what they do with humans. I was just thinking, who in the first movie... Can you name a human woman?
Can I name a human woman in the first movie?
Mm-hmm.
Was there a human woman in the first movie?
Like, were all of the women in the first movie replicants?
Wait. Yeah.
All the main players, at least?
Yeah. Character 4.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Crowd scene kind of thing. Yeah. No, it's kind of an interesting thing, right, that the women were... And, I mean, let's just go ahead and toss it out there, right? You know, how many male... humans were there.
There was Harrison Ford.
Does that list include Deckard?
Well,
or was Deckard a replicant?
Good point.
Like,
Sebastian,
this is the biggest, like, overarching conversation that people have about these movies was Deckard a replicant?
And it wasn't cleared up in any
way. Not supposed to be.
And I'm so mad. Please clear it up, because the most satisfying thing in the world is seeing, like, is having a theory be proven or disproven and seeing a reaction to that. I don't know why, because there's so much chaos when there's a lot of theories.
Well, no, I can tell you that the director has stated he's a replicant.
Ooh.
The writer says he's not.
Oh.
Harrison Ford says he's not.
I trust Harrison Ford.
He's not in the book. But the book's very different. Yeah. This is the Do Androids Dream of Electronic Sheep?
Oh.
Yeah.
I need to read that book.
There are many people on each side of the debate about whether... So Harrison Ford did not play him as a replicant. The writer didn't write him as a replicant. The director directed him as a replicant. At least he says he did. Like, who knows if that's... He came up with that. But apparently there were debates on set between Harrison Ford and the director.
God.
Like, this was their primary disagreement, was about whether he was a replicant or not. And then... You know, there are little clues that they kind of hide. And so the big clue, like, we're kind of jumping to the end here, and we'll go back and talk about some of the things, right? But one of the big clues that they talk about is the unicorn dream, right?
Yeah.
So if you remember when he was first talking to Sean Young in his apartment, and he was saying, "Tell me about one of the memories you have when you were a kid." And she starts telling the story, and then he finishes it, right? And he's like, "I know that, you know, that's really Tyrell's niece, that you have her memories, and so I know what your memories are."
Yeah.
So during that scene, Harrison Ford fell asleep, and he had this dream about a unicorn.
Mm-hmm.
And then do you remember at the very end of the movie what happened?
He found a paper unicorn.
Yeah, so his partner or handler or whatever his relationship is with Admiral Obama... was. So I'm going to call everybody by other card names that they play. So Edward James Almost Gaff or something like that was his name. I can't remember his actual name. But he's Admiral. He'll always be Admiral Adama to me, because he's in Battlestar Galactica and he was amazing. So Admiral Adama left him a little origami unicorn.
Yeah.
And so people argue that's because he knew Harrison Ford's memories and dreams in the same way that Harrison Ford knew Sean Young's.
Right.
That it's a throwback. And so he had to be a replicant.
Do replicants dream?
Oh, I don't know. Do androids dream of electric sheep? But that was the interesting thing about it to me, or one of the interesting things about it to me, was like everything else that we saw across both movies was memories. Like, they gave the replicants memory. So this gets into a very, like, Matrix-y kind of conversation, right?
Yeah.
You remember there was a chunk in the Matrix where they were saying that when the computers first made... It's kind of the opposite of the Matrix, I guess, if you think about it. Because the computers are in charge and they're...
No, the computers are not in charge.
When they first made the Matrix, they made it perfect. And people started dying. Like, the people that were in the Matrix and powering the system, like, being batteries, mm-hmm. it didn't take because the world was too perfect. And, mm-hmm. like, they needed misery. And so they made the world, the virtual world of the Matrix, less perfect. Because it's the only way human beings would accept it. Because human beings are hardwired to be miserable. it's not exactly what he said, but it's pretty close. So in this, you've got kind of a similar thing. Where they, without having a history, the replicants were unstable. And so they decided to give them these memories that weren't theirs, but it gave them, they called it like a pillow or a cushion for their emotions or something like that.
Yeah.
And like, as you're going through your life, learning to deal with your emotions is largely, you know, about past experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And so having these past experiences can help shape who you are as a person and can help, you know, you develop appropriate emotional responses, right?
Right.
And so they fed them these memories and they had these memories in there. But everything that we looked at in both movies, they were memories. Like him hiding the horse in the new movie, or her thinking back to her childhood, or whatever we talked about, the birthday party that she was doing
that
in the new
cool.
movie, which was really cool, right? But they were all memories.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't necessarily tie in. Like, I doubt that the unicorn was a memory.
Right.
That Harrison Ford was remembering that time he was in the woods and a unicorn came running out after him.
Sure?
Like, no, it's possible, right?
Maybe.
I mean, there's a lot of, like, you know, bioengineered animals in this world, so maybe it was really a memory. I don't know. But that seemed like a dream. And so that made me wonder, like, do they give them dreams? Did they give them memories of dreams? Like, it's a really sort of deep kind of web you climb into. And then this goes into, again, we're going to get super cerebral in some of these conversations. Oof. And I mentioned this class a lot, but I took this class called Philosophy of Science Fiction Literature when I was in college, right? It's one of my favorite classes I ever took. And we did a big study on identity.
Mm-hmm.
And what is it about you that makes you you? Like, what could you not take away and still be you? What do you think the answer to that question is, by the way? In like your opinion. What makes you you?
That's an interesting question for like me specifically. Oh man. Because there are like at least in my head, I don't know what goes on in other people's head.
Mm-hmm.
There are several different things going on and several different voices.
Mm-hmm.
Haha, voices in my head, be more chill reference. And there's like, I don't think taking away one of those would change me entirely, but then also taking away like a physical possession of mine would make me different. And that's
are they, well, not you, like you, but you're still Presley, right?
My consciousness.
Like, Presley has changed.
Yeah.
Right? And you will change over time. You'll grow older. You'll have experiences, all these things will happen, but you'll still be you.
Right.
The person, right? Presley. You'll still be Presley. What would it take for you to just not be Presley anymore?
I think it would be taking away... Well, yeah, okay, that's also depends very heavily on a few things. Like, not being Presley as in, like, emotionally... Does being emotionally vacant count as being me if I still have a consciousness?
Well, that's a question.
That's a question, okay. Well, I think it would have to be... Like, if you took away my agency, like, as a human being to think what I want to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not necessarily do, because, like, you could be doing something you don't want to
and still be
like, ugh, this sucks.
Just do yourself in your head.
Yes.
You're the one suffering.
Yeah.
Still, right?
Like, having your thoughts controlled means you are, like, losing, like...
That goes
all
into like a
thoughts.
Whole
all of them.
Turtles all the way down conversation.
Yeah, right? No. Like having, because there are like intrusive thoughts that I don't like. I don't think those things. They just happen sometimes, and I'm like, what the heck was that?
Yeah.
But, like, having all of your thoughts controlled. And I'm talking, like, not like a replicant who would have an occasional thought came, or the protagonist of a book I was reading, like, who has a thought come into their head that's not theirs. I'm saying all of your thoughts, your emotions, your everything is controlled by someone else. That makes you a tool more than a person.
So we came, like, through the course of the course. we came up with this idea that, like, part of making you you is having your memories.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not necessarily having, I mean, it did kind of come back to having experienced the things that you experienced. Like, you are the sum of your experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that you relate to your experiences is through memories. And so while it could be possible, like, you sort of end up with this idea that having all of your memories makes you you,
mm-hmm.
right? And that we threw this extra piece of the definition in that required you to acquire those memories through the proper channels, like through experiences, so that somebody couldn't download your memories and put them in somebody else, and then that person becomes you.
Isn't that what teleportation is?
Maybe they do. Well, I mean, there's more to it than just memories. But like, speaking specifically about memories, like if you took someone else, I mean, this goes to the identity conversation, goes deep into, like, there's only one person. We're all the same person. And anyone else who had the same exact experiences that I had would be the same person that I am. Like, it's an interesting, like, philosophical kind of thing. But anyway, because of those conversations, and those are not, you know, novel thoughts, like, this is a whole branch of philosophy, right? Identity. But playing with someone's memories and implanting those memories is defining who those people are in a very real way. And so you're getting into the whole, you know, God complex of building these people and deciding who you want these people to be. And then sort of the arrogance of saying, okay, I'm going to give you my niece's memories.
Yeah.
Was kind of a whole thing, right? Like, right. Playing around with their memories, but, was a big deal. Okay, go ahead, please. I'm sorry.
Dark matter.
No, but of course. Dark matter. No, so that was the big question we came up with in the class that we struggled with a lot, was if someone has, like, really deep permanent amnesia, are they the same person?
Well, that was explored in Dark Matter, and the answer to that question is no.
Is that really the same? Like, not do they act the same, do they do the same things, but is that still the same human being? Would you identify as being the same person?
No, and let's use...
Or even, like, legally, is that the same person?
Legally, maybe, because I think people are legally identified by their DNA, but I don't know that. Like, legally, I think you'd still be the same person. Like, in Dark Matter, they're legally the same person. But let's use one as an example, because he, I think, is the biggest example for this. Like, Jace Corso, maybe I don't want to spoil Dark Matter, but I'll say this and you can cut it out if it's spoiler. But Jake Corso, who? Derek Moss and One are similar, and they both seemingly have a do-gooder tendency. Like, they are good people.
Yeah.
Derek Moss, at least to me, is a different person than One is. Marcus Boone. Marcus is a big... Because watch me talk about Three for, like, an hour. Three is different from Marcus Boone. Because Marcus Boone... From what we know of him, is bad.
Would you say they are different people?
Different.
Not they act differently.
They are different people.
They are different human beings.
They are different
human beings. You would consider them to be a different person. Like, if you were related to Marcus Boone, you would not consider Three to be your relative.
Well, that's blood.
No, I mean, that's the question. No. Is he the same person? Or it's just a different person. Not he acts differently, he thinks differently. Like, he is a different... His identity has changed. He's a different person.
Well, I'd say his...
Not like he's had a big shift and become religious and changed the way that he views the world. Like, all of those things can happen, right? And a person can change and behave very differently, but you would still consider them the same person. The same human being that they were before they changed the way that they behaved. But, like, getting to the core of identity is a very different thing to where you say, well, I mean, let's, like, the classic sort of sci-fi example is a brain transplant.
Yeah.
And they're talking about doing one in China, maybe by the end of the year even.
Ooh, sick.
So if that happens, who is that person? Is it a new person?
No. don't think so.
Which person comes out of that surgery?
Do we have a good enough understanding of brains to know anything about that? No. Because, like, that depends
entirely. That's not about brains. That's about identity. That is your identity stored in your brain? So is it the person whose brain goes in that comes out of the surgery?
Maybe.
Or is it a new, like, it's a whole, it's a,
wait, so if that's a thing, okay, this is just a question.
We might be getting a little off topic Blade Runner.
If that's a thing, really quickly, can you just, like, and I'm assuming the person that the brain is being transplanted to is not alive.
Well, can you, that's an assumption.
I hope not. Can you, like, if that becomes a widespread thing, can you just go pick a dead person and be like, I want this to be my body now? I hope so.
In theory, that's kind of the direction that they're heading.
Yeah.
Right? That's what they're, yeah, that's,
get
that's
out
the
of
path.
The flesh sack.
Yeah, so it's like some, yeah, it's someone who's brain dead is the body donor, and someone who is, you know, like paraplegic and dying because their body is shutting down, that's the brain donor.
And
that make
people,
put them together and see what happens.
What's that immortal? Well, that one immortal dude who, I think you know about him, who just kept changing
Highlander?
Bodies. No, he didn't change bodies. No, and he was immortal because he kept changing people's bodies and he had to kill people for it. No. Was that something I made up? Because
no,
I'm
there's
pretty
a
sure
movie,
something.
There's a movie that does that, but I don't think you've seen it. Okay, cool. Let's
anyway,
let's roll back,
back
over
to Blade Runner.
No, but like the amount of like playing God that they're doing, and even at a deep philosophical level with manipulating people's memories, or just give, not even manipulating people's memories,
giving
but choosing
them.
To give them these memories, is choosing to give them an identity that's way beyond. And so as part of that, like I think in the book, the replicants were a little more technological. Right? They were treated as technology, whereas in the movies they're biological, right? They're almost certainly totally biological.
Yeah.
Because you can't tell them apart from a human, so you have to assume they don't have like metal endoskeletons of some sort. That would be easy to be able to recognize them. You can't tell them apart. And so like I always think about the movie because I think about the book, I always think of it in terms of AI.
Mm-hmm.
Like how far artificial intelligence is going, but I'm not sure that applies to the movie conversations as much because it's more about like genetically engineering entities.
Oh, God.
And like modifying and cloning. So we've been talking a ton about cloning because it is also very similar to what?
To Orphan Black.
Orphan Black. So there's a lot of Orphan Black similarities that are going on as well.
We haven't finished yet.
And so it's about like the rights of genetically modified or entirely engineered organisms or AI, like it falls into it as well. Like,
right.
Do you think that we reach a point someday where AI is treated as like a living thing and has rights and is?
I hope so.
Do you think we actually get to that with AI? Let's start with AI. Let's start with artificial intelligence. Do you think that?
Right.
A sentient computer program?
For those of,
do you think
yeah.
that's a thing that yes. will exist and that we will recognize as
well?
Shutting down that program is murder?
That depends because people kind of are suck at that. Like, they are not great at recognizing if another species... Because, like, there is this human... And I talk to my friends a lot about this kind of stuff, about AI and aliens, because that's the kind of friends we are. And, like, if, like... Hold on, I have to remember where I was going with this. I had a thought, and I know what the thought is. I have to get back on track with it.
We're talking about rights.
Yeah. And, like, Because there's this thing with human beings where we almost have, like, a God complex. We automatically assume...
Almost.
Exactly. Very much. We have, like, this God complex thing where we assume we're the best species. We assume we're the only conscious species.
Sure.
We assume... We're the only species that is capable of technological innovation or any and all of that stuff. And that gets on my nerves a lot, that humans do that.
Yeah, so what would it take in your mind for an AI entity to be something that you would no longer be comfortable shutting off and treating like a computer program or a machine? What line would that thing have to cross before you felt like it's become something that is more than just a program? Or do you think we're just programs? Which that's another way to look at it too.
Okay, are you talking about this in a Matrix way or in a human brain?
No,
or
human,
in a Trenton way?
Yeah. In a Trenton way.
Okay. In a Trenton way. Yes, because technically every, pretty much everything is just a program.
So what would you need to see out of an AI, you know, a chat bot that's so amazing that you think it's murder to turn it off?
To turn it off? Well, like, I understand with any AI or person, I guess, like, turning them off and then fixing them and then turning them back on. I mean, that's what surgery is, I guess.
Yeah, so let me phrase it another way. For Blade Runner 2049, was Joy murdered?
Yeah, she was.
Absolutely.
She was absolutely murdered.
Okay.
Because she had... And I think the point where an AI, like, becomes an AI to me is where it can form... And this is just because I've had a lot of exposure to AI because I love them and follow them.
Sure.
Is if it can... If it's capable of forming... Like, I guess you can't monitor something's thoughts ever.
Sure.
But if it's capable of forming, like, at least if you were having a dialogue with it, if it was capable of forming thoughts and all and that kind of stuff completely independent to your own, like, other than, like, if you...
We're pretty close to that.
We've already done that, kind of.
We're not doing that, right?
We're, like, if completely independent to your own. Like,
and, like, sentient, like, self-awareness is a big threshold.
Self-awareness, but what if one of us was an AI and we weren't aware of it?
Yeah.
Does that make us not...
Well, that's part of the question.
Does that mean
right?
us weak?
This is a big part of what Blade Runner is about, right? So on the surface, all right. So it's the onion of the Blade Runner, right?
Shrek.
So on the surface, it is about like these kinds of, you know, we're already having companies that are filing patents around genetically modified creatures,
mm-hmm.
like claiming ownership of creatures because they created them.
Yeah.
And so I mean, that's a really slippery slope, and that's already happening. AI and when are we going to start treating AI like it's some kind of a thing that we have to acknowledge as a living thing? Like these are big questions that we have to deal with, and that's kind of in the sci-fi space, right? In the more real world space, the meat space in which we currently live, in today's world,
meat
not thinking
cute.
About the future with our meat cutes. boy, there were some meat cutes in both of these movies.
Yeah.
Certainly Harrison Ford and Sean Young was a meat cute, if I ever heard one.
Sean Young or Sean Ryan? You say, you've
Sean
said
Young.
Both.
Okay. Sean Ryan. Sean Young. If I said Sean Ryan, I didn't mean it at all. Now I don't know where I was going with that.
We're talking about meat cutes.
No, so in the meat space, like it's more about how we treat each other. Like this is kind of like when you talk to people about the X-Men and they say like, oh, as an LGBT person, I identified with the X-Men because you've got this hidden identity and you're trying to hide it. And I was I was able to live vicariously through these characters. It's the same thing. The replicants could be anybody, mm-hmm. right? The replicants could be people of color. They could be LGBT people. They could be women. They could be anybody can put themselves in the position of the replicants where they're not treated like, like straight white men, right? And women could be, right?
Women, yeah.
So you put yourself in this position where you're not treated as the same level of personhood as someone else in the world. And so you know, like these topics are definitely flying around like crazy in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can think about like the sci-fi piece of you just focuses and thinks about the AI and the biological engineering and these things. But you can also think about, oh, well, we're sort of saying that, you know, like Muslims are being treated like the replicants are. Like they're less than humans, and we can treat them like that because and so like it's a huge social commentary about drawing these kinds of
lines. That's what sci-fi should be.
Sorry.
Sci-fi should be, as the director of this movie said, of 2049 said, sci-fi should be a social commentary. It is not good sci-fi is never a commentary about the future.
Right. And certainly not about how the director is saying the future should be.
Yes. It is always, because I will be a utopia, and I can talk about utopias later.
Right.
And, like, a good sci-fi is talking about current modern social issues using the future as the future or time travel or something, or using the future or outer space or something like that as a background for it.
Yeah.
Dark Matter does that.
Yeah, of course.
Dirk Gently even kind of does that. Like, it's
behind on Dirk Gently, by the way.
We are, and it makes me so mad. I keep meaning to bring it up to you.
Yeah. We'll have to assign it to each other just so we can watch it.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of more sci-fi things.
No, you're absolutely right. Like, good sci-fi is modern-day social commentary.
Good sci-fi is not science. It's not fiction about science.
It's also like zombie movies. That's why I love zombie movies, because they're social commentary. The social commentary of zombie movies, I think, is a phenomenal thing.
We'll dive into that.
Yeah, we'll dive into that at some point too.
What's that one zombie movie that you keep wanting me to watch? Like at carnivals or something?
Zombieland.
Yeah,
Zombieland's really good. So here's one of my, we're already about to wrap up on the first movie. We'll keep talking about both a little bit.
No,
we'll start focusing on 24/9 in a second. One of my fundamental questions about it was, like, the whole movie is about, like, there's this whole branch of the police department whose job it is to try and distinguish between humans and replicants, and you have to do the what was the name of the test? I always forget the name of the test. The Voight-Kampff test.
Yeah.
Which tests emotional responses to these really weird situations, and like, because emotions aren't fully developed in the replicants and stuff. And, like, if that is such a big problem, why are you making these things look like people? Like, you can solve this whole problem by, like, make them blue or green or, like,
purple.
Or make them, give them two heads or, like, perma tattoos or, like, you made these things. Like, you could have just made them look different from people.
They stopped making them, didn't they?
Well, no, but when they made them, they made them. And they could have made them in a way that they didn't look like. Well, like, why do they have to be totally indistinguishable from people?
They would be so much more efficient if they didn't look like people.
Because right.
I brought this up before, on the vlog at least. Like, a human being is very much in no way the most efficient organism on the planet. In any, like, we just happen to luck out and make a lot of technology.
Yeah.
But we're not very, like, we're not octopi. They should have made them octopi, because octopi are arguably the most efficient creatures.
They could have tailor-made them for the purposes of...
Yeah,
the job,
but then like this whatever. Gets into...
Because they're basically industrial robots, right?
Yeah.
The way that they're treated in the movie is they're industrial robots. And so if you go and do a tour and look at 100 industrial robots, they're not all going to look the same. Like, they're built for what they do. And so I was kind of... In the back of my mind, the whole, like, oh, this horror movie would have been a lot shorter if they hadn't gone in the basement.
Don't go in the basement.
So I'm thinking this whole time, why don't you just make them not look like people? And then you don't have to hire Harrison Ford to figure out whether that's a replicant or not. And Harrison Ford would have been
Harrison
blue.
Ford.
And nobody would wonder if Harrison Ford was a replicant because he was blue. Like, it totally, okay, well, that makes sense. Like,
but
that
then
just
this gets
like,
into...
It might have been a bad decision in hindsight.
Maybe, but then this starts to get into a conversation, like, sort of similar to Red Rising, which I bring up every 2 seconds.
Right.
Like, because each color is... tailored to the purpose of the color.
It totally could have been Red Rising. You're absolutely right.
It
they could have made them like their jobs were their color, and then suddenly that's how Red Rising happened.
Yeah, and then it becomes Red Rising, and then Harrison Ford is in Red Rising.
It totally
that would
could
have been
have,
amazing.
It totally could have happened that way. Okay, what do you have on the first movie before we jump into our mid stuff?
I'd like to talk about which every other commentary on the movie I've seen has talked about, and I'm surprised you didn't bring up yet that there was like. There was just sexual assault in that movie, and it just happened, one questioned it.
It was much more uncomfortable watching it this time than
so
I haven't seen it in a long time, right? And so that actually will make a good transition, I think, into 2049, because it played out very differently. Like, there were similar kinds of things that happened in 2049, but it was much less offensive.
Well, yeah, because because any kind of stuff in 2049 was made by two consenting adults.
Yeah, and there's like, God, grief. This dives into a whole thing about like agency and like Harrison Ford. Still, even though he was falling in love with her, he still viewed her as a thing.
Yeah.
Right, and a thing without agency.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's why he could say, tell me you love me, right? Say this, say whatever, do this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was still viewing her as a machine. And he hadn't, like, I mean, his job was to hunt these replicants down and kill them. And so he could not think of them as people.
Right.
Like, he had to be trained to not think of them as human beings. So he was still very early in the process of coming around to thinking of her as a thing. And so it's really... Like, thinking of it as sexual assault is thinking of it in terms of her being a person already.
Yes.
Whereas he was not thinking, he was coming to terms with her being a person. And I would love to have seen maybe, like, down the road, in some way, like, he regretted what he did.
Yeah.
Because he came to fully recognize her as a person.
Right?
Yes. Yeah, okay, go
ahead. Anyway, sorry. I was just like, this is a good transition into the next movie. This is a good transition into the next movie. And I get to bring up my two favorite characters in the next movie.
Well, hold on. We got to do the middle piece before we do the next movie.
Oh, well, I wanted to do a cool transition, Seth.
Yeah, we're going to do a nice, smooth, little jingly transition. Are you
ready? And then we'll do a different transition.
That's right. Here we go. Okay, nice. All right. Woo-hoo. So now we're in the little middle space where we do, like, this is our ad roll, even though we don't have any ads. Like, really what we do here at this point is we just kind of get some shout-outs and talk to about some people that
subscribe
have been kind to us, right?
Crunchyroll or Audible, since that's what every single ad on every podcast is about.
This podcast is actually not brought to you by Audible.
It's not. It's
the one podcast that Audible is not yet sponsoring.
Audible, get on that.
Yeah, that's right. We should totally talk to those guys.
We use Audible
every day. I love Audible. I'm not knocking Audible in any way.
Stop making this sound like an Audible ad that we were not paid to do.
No, I love Audible. Audible's fantastic. I love them. Yeah, so I did want to give a couple of shout-outs. Before we do the shout-outs, once again, at ValidateMeCast on Twitter.
Yeah.
ValidateMePodcast@gmail.com as an email, or you can leave comments and videos and let us know what you think. When Presley gives me my homework in a little bit, you can go ahead and throw some stuff and give us your thoughts, and we'll talk. We'll put that in here. I did want to comment. We got a couple of the new Twitter followers since the last time we did the shout-outs. RJ Sushi.
Woo, our day! Woo!
Yeah, yeah. Buddy
I'm
of ours.
That's
a, yeah, he's one of our patrons. He's a really good friend of the channel, so thank you for doing that. Dorian Stretton, I think I'm saying that right.
Dorian,
correct me if
from
I'm wrong.
Dirk Gently.
And then Spooky Mulder, which I think was an awesome Twitter handle.
Mulder from X-Files?
Yeah, yeah, I assume so.
Yeah.
Spooky Mulder. And that, it may have been like one of the Twitter handles that was set like during Halloween, but it was just too good to turn off because it doesn't match the actual at name. But we'll put some links in the description. But yeah, Spooky Mulder. So thank you guys so much for the follow over on Twitter. That's awesome.
Also, if your name is Mulder, you're Mulder from X-Files. I haven't even seen X-Files. You're just Mulder from X-Files now.
I did.
That's your identity.
Also, we got a couple of interesting comments last week on Doki Doki.
Doki
people,
Doki.
People are very interesting in that. Ooh, so Mark Swarthow, who was the ukulele teacher,
yeah.
Right? Who sent the book for the ukulele thing, he did not like Doki Doki. And I'm not at all surprised, right? He just, you know, he kind of, it was, it's a little offensive, right? And I think we did.
Wait, how?
Well,
confusing.
Just like the content matter of it can be viewed as being dark, let's say.
Very dark.
Yeah, yeah. And so it's not. You have to admit that's not everybody's cup of tea, for sure.
No,
and
but
so,
it's
yeah. We talked about it like as a work of art and game development without necessarily talking overall about the themes and about some of that stuff. So
whoops.
I totally agree. No. We gave sort of triggery warnings at the beginning of the conversation and stuff, and it was worth trying out, but it's definitely not for everybody. So thank you at least for giving it a shot, Mark.
I know, right?
Yeah, I knew. Yeah, that's not going to be for everybody for sure. And then Frankie gave like a really long, as Frankie's been following along and participating and doing a ton of stuff, and I love Frankie. And she was talking about like recognizing that when she was younger, she would have really loved a lot of the things that you're recommending. Like when she was really like into dark stuff. Like when you're young, you just kind of go through these phases where you're sort of fascinated by death and darkness, right? And so she's like, oh, I totally can see how I would have loved this and totally been into it. She enjoyed both the music, which she kind of said the same thing. She really loved the music in El Radio, and maybe the lyrics and the affectation that we talked about a little bit during the thing was something she would have liked more when she was younger, maybe.
Right, because I'm still going through my emo phase, whoops.
Yeah, right, but it was really sort of insightful of her to sort of recognize, oh, I can see like young me, dear me, letter that I would have written would have been, hey, dear me, go check out Doki Doki Literature Club, you'll love it.
Right.
Even though maybe I don't love it now.
I thought that was cool.
She was really good.
Yeah, I am going through, because there's this weird thing where I went through my emo phase, my Warrior Cats phase, and my Vocaloid phase in the past, and now it's happening all again, and I'm really confused and conflicted about
things
it.
Things go in full
circle. And also, when I said I was going through my emo phase, Mom gave me like that look, and I take that as, like, if Daniel Howell can be still going through his emo phase and be very successful, so
sure.
Can I.
No, okay? No worries. Awesome. All right, so thank you guys so much for the follows. Again, go to at ValidateMeCast on Twitter. Give us a follow. Send us a tweet or send us an email, validatemepodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you guys.
Have we got an email yet?
And we'll wrap around. Still no emails.
Send us an email,
actually,
coward.
I'm starting to think maybe we're saying it wrong and I registered something other than that and people are just getting bounced emails back and forth. So
send us
a tweet and tell us if your email bounces.
Yeah.
But yeah, we haven't heard anything yet. All right. So let's go back and talk a little bit about 2049.
Okay, okay. So, okay, okay. So, at the end of last night's party. No. Okay. I have to break references whenever I say, okay, okay. So, I have to sing that song. It's okay, Smartphone Hour. Okay. More chill. Anyway. 2049. Anyway, so the conversation we were just having about the original Blade Runner is that Harrison Ford viewed the same lady that's in every single 80s movie.
Chun Young.
Yes. She's in like every 80s movie, or someone that looks exactly like her is in every 80s movie.
She's in a lot of stuff.
Yes, her. Harrison Ford still viewed her as an object and sexually assaulted her, while my boy Kay, who I love...
Joe.
Yeah. Will you call him... Do you call him Joe? Drive. The guy from... What is his name? Wait, I can't remember his name. What is his name?
Ryan Gosling?
Yeah. I can never remember Ryan Gosling's name. He looks like a Chris, and I keep wanting to call him Chris. Anyways, sure, Drive. Ryan Gosling, the guy from La La Land. Him.
Yeah.
That guy. Yeah. Kay, I'm calling him Kay because the credits refer to him as Kay. Okay. So,
I'm going to call him Drive.
Yes, you can call him Drive. I will call him Kay. So, Kay had Joy, who is my favorite character in that movie. Mm. I love Joy.
Joy... I'm sorry, I'm going to interrupt you just 1 second just so I can say this. And we talked about this a little bit today while we were walking around. But Joy, I totally agree. Joy was one of my favorite characters. I think she was an amazing character. And like the director went the extra step of her not only being AI, but not being tangible, like being a hologram.
Ooh, and
still somehow through that, she had some of the most agency in the film.
Right.
Like, it felt like she was so in control and had so much agency. And like Presley talking about it, it felt like she was murdered, right? Mm-hmm. As not just a computer program, but a hologram, like, with no, like, physical body at all and no tangible form. Like, it was really remarkable how much agency he put into that character. And I totally agree. I think that's an amazingly developed character in a film.
Right. Okay. So... with her, she was created, like, and it's said several times in the movie, she was created as a pleasure bot who will tell you whatever you want to hear.
Sure.
Well, Harrison Ford was making Rachel?
Mm-hmm.
Rachel. Was making Rachel say what he wanted her to.
Mm-hmm.
Kay told, like, during the movie, told Joy several times she didn't have to say, she was just free to do as she wanted.
Right.
And that's one of the big differences between Kay and Harrison Ford, and one of the reasons why I love Kay so much.
But that may be like part of the like time, as time has moved on, and part of the fact that Kay was a replicant.
Yes.
So he treated her very differently, obviously, because they were, you know, peers. They were in the same.
Kay is also a better person.
Class,
he's also just a better person.
He's not crotchety old Harrison Ford.
No, be mean to Harrison Ford. Harrison Ford didn't do anything. It was young. It was young alcoholic,
right.
Sexual assault person.
Yeah. So Kylo's dad.
He knows. Listen. Okay. I'm calling you out on the podcast for this because you will not stop calling Harrison Ford Kylo's dad, and it makes me so mad because Kyle Yon does not deserve. Like, to be related in any way to Harrison Ford. Kyle, like, just like Daisy said, Kylo Stan is an insult.
Can't be helped.
And you are allowed, okay, I will admit, Kylo's a cool character, and he's chill, and one of my friends really like Kylo, but you can't call Harrison Ford Kylo's dad.
So how much in the conversation we're having about the two movies, how much do you feel like Kylo's dad grew as a character? And the way that he viewed the replicants.
I don't know.
The older Harrison Ford in 2049, do you feel like he came around?
I do.
Do you think he viewed them as people?
I think at that point he did view them as people. At least at that point. And I don't know, because he actually showed up kind of late in the movie. Like, to the point where I was like, is Harrison Ford actually in this movie?
Right.
He's in all the promotional material.
And people definitely talk about that. Like, one of the knocks on this movie is that he was in all the promotional material.
But he was like, not.
But he was really strong.
He was
like,
so good.
It was really important that he came in when he came in.
Right.
And, like, it was well done. They just used him in the promotional. It was like Cynthia Rothrock in that movie that we watched back in Denver, right? She shows up as, like, a council member in the end for 2 minutes, but she was on the cover of the thing. But that's a whole different thing. Yeah. So I was going to throw out one of the lines that came from Princess Buttercup. Was we live on a wall that separates the different. Mm-hmm. Tell people there's no wall and you get war or extermination, I think she said.
Yeah, hold on, I have my notes up.
So again, it's all about that thinking of we need people that are different than us. Like, as human beings, mm-hmm. we are social creatures, and part of our social nature is that we need an us versus them mentality.
Yeah.
We need that to survive. And that as you start tearing down the us versus them, people can't mentally wrap their head around there is no them. Mm-hmm. And the people need a them so strongly they create a them. And the them has been all kinds of different people over history, right? And mm-hmm. in our like brief history of the country, you've had like black people were the them, women were the them, LGBT people were the them, trans people are the them right now, largely. There's a lot of different ways, like the people from south of the border, people that are crossing the border from Mexico, like now brown people are them, Muslims are them. Like, there's right. just, we always find ways to create a them. Mm-hmm. And the movie is sort of tossing out this question of, does there have to be a them? Like, is it even possible for us as a species to exist in a world without a them? Or are we so hardwired for there to be a them
right.
that there always will be?
Right. I was about to say, well, like, I don't have that much of a them. And then I realized that for me, the privileged people are the them.
Oh, for you, right. You're on the other side. You're a replicant.
Yeah! Yeah!
So you're a replicant, and the humans
Thank
are the
God
them.
Thank God I'm a replicant. That's amazing.
Right. Or a clone droid, as I listed them.
Yeah, you Wait, I have something. You kept calling them clone robot people, clone droids, is one of my lists.
Right. Because, like I said, I always thought about them in the book and stuff. I think about them as AI and as androids, but clearly they're not in the movies. Like, it's so weird watching the movie to think about it. Like, they're obviously not. But robot. For some reason, just in my sci-fi brain, I'm thinking about
because if they were androids. Just robots, you could just throw a magnet at them and they die easy.
I'm just going to call them clone droids.
Yeah. It would be fixed easier if they actually were robots. You just threw a magnet
and
at
it's really
them.
Interesting. One of the cool things about them being clone droids is that they set off a nuclear explosion over Vegas.
Yeah.
To create like an EMP to wipe out all of the electronics, like the blackout or
the blackout.
What, is that what
they
call
it?
So that was like normally what happens is when the machines rise up, the humans create like an EMP that takes out all the machines.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting to see like clearly these are not technological creatures because the EMP would have destroyed them if that was the case. And right. them using an EMP against people because they're actually
biological.
And so that was an interesting little twist that you don't really see.
What even is an EMP? Because I hear it so often.
It's an electromagnetic pulse. Oh. We'll do a whole deeper
I've
dive
heard it
into it. Yeah.
So often.
It
so
fries. All you need to know is that it fries electronics.
Great.
Yeah.
I could gather that as a teacher in every work of sci-fi ever.
Yeah.
But anyways, okay, so time to get on to my notes because I actually haven't mentioned like any of these. So first thing is the intro to this movie was so cool. I was like quaking in the theater. It was the first thing I actually wanted to say, which isn't the first thing in my notes because I'm smart, is I cannot believe that Blade Runner 2049 invented motion pictures. Like,
Wait,
it invented motion pictures. That's what it did. Okay. It was the first... Can you believe it was the first movie? The first one that ever happened.
I can't believe that, in fact.
It's the first one. It was amazing. That is just a way, I guess, if you haven't heard that before, is a way of saying, like, it was just really good. Can you believe it invented modern...
There were no movies before.
There were no movies before Blade Runner 2049. Anyway.
deep cuts.
It's not.
Totally fine. Totally fine.
Anyway,
I'm with you.
I have to keep explaining modern trivia. Now I feel like, especially like I'm the child and you're a dad.
That's why we're here. That is exactly why we're sitting here having this conversation.
That's scary. Anyways. It had a really cool intro, and it was amazing. And this movie is gorgeous.
Beautiful, gorgeous. Yeah,
I was quaking in my boots. I was shook. My wig was snatched. It was amazing. It was so pretty.
It was pretty. I totally agree. It was beautiful. Absolutely.
So pretty. Child.
Let's talk about, so we'll kind of switch back and forth, because I got a bunch of notes in here, too. We'll bring up one of the big controversial thing that I mentioned to you earlier today.
And I have many opinions about that.
Yeah, we'll launch on that. And we've talked about it a little bit. We'll talk to. Let's talk about Jordan Catalano.
Wallace. Wait, what's his name? Jared
Leto, yeah.
The Joker from Suicide Squad.
Yeah, or the Joker. You can call him the Joker, or I'll call him Jordan Catalano.
No, I don't want to talk about the Suicide Squad at all.
Yeah, I don't either. Definitely don't want to do that. that was really weird. Like, he was kind of a wasted character in similar ways that he was in the Suicide Squad, right?
He's, I don't know, just if there.
Like, I think maybe people can only work with Jordan Catalano for like a week. And so he disappears in every movie he's in.
Yeah, that's true.
He's there for like 8 scenes and then he's suddenly gone.
I've heard from several people that that's just what he's like. Like when he was getting
in
character,
he was crazy on the Joker thing. Yeah, he's definitely a character actor. And if he was a character actor for Wallace, it probably would have been just as annoying as it would have been for the thing, right? So yeah, they probably just got tired of him.
Women.
Yeah, and they're like, okay, we're gonna set up this whole thing where they kidnap him and take him to Wallace. But is there any way we could keep him from actually getting to Wallace? So that we don't have to have Jordan Catalano back in for a day.
Oh my god, I'm still like...
And he's really good. Like, he's really good. And he was intense and he was kind of...
He's a good actor, but he's just a bad person.
It was a weird character. I didn't totally understand it.
Me neither.
Entirely.
He looked cool.
He played the part that he was given well, but I didn't really understand his part. Like, it was the least developed and interesting. Like, it was clearly like the God complex kind of thing. And it really dove deeply into the... controlling fertility as a way to sort of control a people or a species or whatever. Like he was trying to be, like there's lots of stories where controlling fertility is an important thing. The Handmaid's Tale is something that's on Netflix that
I need to watch.
So like these kinds of things about, like he was fulfilling some of these roles in that space and he wasn't, you know, like Tyrell in the first movie was much more like the creator, like the godlike character. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you had Roy coming and meeting his maker. And there was a lot of like religious allegory that was happening there. And I didn't get the same vibe out of Wallace at all. Like, mm-hmm. I wasn't really sure what his...
Was he just a capitalist?
Like, was he just trying to find a way to make money? And was he just trying to find a way to like... I don't know. I didn't really get his motivation a ton. And then he just kind of disappeared partway through the movie. And
bye.
Yeah, I don't know. He was...
He did say what I think is... I'm going to talk about this line because I mentioned to it before I started the pod.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He says... Harrison Ford says to him, have you ever... You clearly haven't ever had any children.
Yeah, so Jared Leto says... I need you, I'll give you whatever you want if you tell me where I can find the child. So basically I can kill the child.
Find the boy.
In a very Last of Us kind of way.
Yeah.
Right? There's lots of parallels. But in a very Last of Us way, he's saying, hey, tell me where I can find the child, your kid, basically, so that I can go do these things, these horrible things to your kid. And so Harrison Ford's response is...
You clearly haven't had any children. And then Jared Leto's response is... I have millions of children, and then some speech which I wasn't paying a lot of attention to because Jared Leto was like kind of scaring me. But he was just like
with his crackliness.
He's just a scary person.
He scares
and
mommy
he
with
object-
his crackliness.
He objectifies women, and I don't like him. Anyway, in the movie, and then he goes on the speech about how much he loves pain, and like the only conscious thought that could cross through my head at that time was that's just me writing. That's what I'm like with my OCs.
No, but there is, his relationship with the character, again, it goes back to social commentary, right? Mm-hmm. And so in some ways, you can see Jared Leto is not a bad guy in his mind because he doesn't see the replicants as real things.
Right.
With agency and, mm-hmm. and souls, let's say. Let's just call it souls, just for the sake of argument. Sure. It's a good shorthand. But, like... People who are doing horrible things, like during the slavery, they didn't see African Americans as people with souls, right? So, like, you can always convince yourself that this other, like, going back to the other, the wall that divides the other, that the other aren't people, like they don't have souls. And so, the social commentary of how we treat those things and men treating women. Let's just go ahead and open the door for the men treating women thing. So that's a huge knock on this movie. It has got a lot of criticism about the way, and it, certainly if you look at the first movie, it wasn't dissimilar. Like, it was definitely like a noir film, and so a lot of film styles, and they were like sexual objects and these kinds of things. And in this movie, it was way more. It was even ramped up where, like, the almost all of the female characters in the movie were either actual sex workers or were objects that were owned by men. in the movie. And so it took a lot of heat about that. So I'm curious what your thoughts are.
Let me have my opinions about this. Okay, so my opinion about this is very strong because I am going to... Like, I've already said, I love this movie. And I'm going to defend
it. And you would not like a movie that you felt that way about, so I assume.
Yes, yeah. I would hate a movie that I felt this way about. I would be... I would have ended the conversation here because I hate the movie. I keep... Hold on, let me move my legs. Okay, legs moved. Conversation ready to start. So I think this is doing something like Black Mirror allegedly does. I haven't seen Black Mirror yet, and I'm sorry, I'm a fake lesbian. I haven't seen San Junipero yet. But whatever. That's the lesbian episode of Black Mirror, and I need to see it. But I'm sorry, but whatever. It's okay. So what Black Mirror apparently does is it sets up episodes with, and like this is doing, it sets up the movie with women in very objectifying roles,
yeah,
and then they break out of them. And you know what? Like, I hear what a lot of the gripe I heard on Tumblr was about Love, who was very feminine while still doing her murder.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what? Listen, that scene of Love doing her nails while launching bombs at Kay was iconic, amazing, and it was... Whereas I need that one gif of Lady Gaga.
Yeah, why can't you be feminine while you're executing people?
I know, right?
Who's to say that's not okay?
I would be very... I want to be feminine while executing people. Yeah, no, I say as I wear shorts and t-shirts.
Yeah, and so the director of the new one, you know, his comment was, like I said before, that he's not making a movie about how he thinks the future should be or even will be. Mm-hmm. He's making a movie about how today is.
Yep.
And his comment was just like, look, if you don't realize that the our modern world doesn't treat women very well, then maybe you're part of the problem.
Right.
Right. If you don't recognize that this is just like hyperbole of how our current society treats women, mm-hmm, then you're kind of missing the point of what I'm trying to deliver here.
Right.
And I bought that.
Yes, I did.
And like I said, he has a history of strong female characters. Like, he, as a director, he's got a good track record.
Okay, wait, quickly.
Yep.
Strong female characters or strong female characters, trademark TM. Like, strong female...
I don't know what the difference is.
Strong female characters
are, like... Is one of those good and one of those bad?
Yeah, strong female characters are female characters that exist for the sake
of
being strong female characters.
Female characters.
Who are just female.
Yeah,
and they're cool.
Yes.
Good.
And so, I buy what he's saying. I think you... Like, we both really connected with Joy and thought she was an amazing character.
I love Joy. And then there was... Actually... Okay, wait.
And even...
You can keep going, though.
Yeah, so before you... So the other, I don't know the girl's name, that was the prostitute that
was
in... Yes,
what is her name? Oh, I forgot.
It was like Michelle or something like that.
Yeah.
The,
she was amazing. I loved her.
She was amazing. And then, like, the sex scene that was kind of analogous to what happened with Harrison Ford, mm-hmm, was just ridiculously cool and weird and disturbing.
Right.
And
I didn't notice the disturbing
part. It was just disturbing in the... Like, the overlay, like, kind of shifting, when there would be, like, two sets of hands, and their faces would get out of phase and stuff. Like, that all was kind of a weird, disturbing kind of thing.
Something I wanted to talk about a little bit with this movie, and with Joy specifically, because we're talking about Joy because I love her.
Yeah.
Her actress did this really interesting thing where, because she's a hologram, mm-hmm, when she was interacting with Kay, who I need to talk about more because I love Kay. Yeah. Anyways, her hands were, like, floating around him. Like, they weren't quite touching, like it is in the video game. She was not on purpose.
She was a hologram. She had to do hover hands.
Yeah.
Right?
And, or, like, her hand would, like, phase in.
Yeah, and, like, what was... When she went out in the rain for the first time, mm-hmm, was she, like, drawing rain on her skin? Like, was she... Because she,
like,
kind of got wet. So, was she making her hologram appear wet because she was... Like, there was these weird blurred lines of her being real and not real, and his perception of her as a real thing. And I've actually got some notes here about, like, his relationship with her, being in love with a hologram. In there's, like, this whole... I've called it the post-physical world several times, like,
yeah,
in conversations you and I have had, mm-hmm, that relationships happen so much online, and they're not part of, like, meat space relationships, and, like, it's the physical components of relationships have been deprioritized so much,
right,
in, like, your generation, the Minecrafters. Have really deprioritized, right, like, physical contact and those kinds of things, to where we're, like, in this post-physical world. And so him being in love with a hologram is not that, like, alien a concept, because not what he cares about most.
But
then she cared enough to bring the other girl in to try and generate like a physical contact thing.
Right. I thought she was going to, because I thought that, well, yeah, because whatever her name is.
Michelle. We're going to call her Michelle. It's not her name, but it's really close.
Because Michelle, I thought she was going to like possess Michelle. And then it would be, like, in her body.
Yeah, well, yeah, right.
But she didn't. She just, like, phased around her.
Like, that would have worked, too, like, if Michelle were more AI than organic. But because you're, like, and again, it's, like, this weird, it's the clone droid.
Yeah.
Like, you're melding the AI with the organic and creating this new thing.
Oh, and then, like, it was really, really after amazing. This happened, Michelle, like, dragged Joy into the ground. She said, I've been inside you. There's not a lot there.
Yeah, not as much there as you would think. I think was what she, like, the actual line was even better. Not as much there as you'd think.
Like, I know. I was like...
That was a deep cut, man. That
shook.
Was, yes.
That was, she was dragged into the ground.
I don't know where that came
from.
There was
no hair left.
Like, what was that about? What was that hostility for?
Why
did they not like each other?
I mean, I feel like being
like,
inside
is that now the replicants don't like the AI?
No, I just feel like
there's a whole division there?
I just feel like... You're like, if you're trying to be romantic with someone and someone is like phasing through you at the same time, you wouldn't like each other very much.
It was so weird. But beautiful. Like, just beautiful. It was so amazing.
It was
shot and the way it looked and like what was kind of running through your head while it was all going on. Like,
it was
a beautifully directed film. Like, I'm really, the now that I'm remembering parts of it and talking about it and thinking about it, I'm liking it even more. Okay, Dozo.
Yes. Okay, so I have a lot to talk about because...
You want to talk about Joe?
Yeah, let's talk about Kay, because I love him and he's my baby. He is, like, okay, so I have a few notes on him. Is, like, my brain half the time was just screaming. Like, just... Like, the conscious thoughts running through my head was just
yelling. What did you love about him?
He's a good character, and he is, like, the definition of a trope that I don't know the actual name of, but I call it small baby needs a hug, because that's what I think. Because, like, you see this character get mistreated. It's like the anti-Kyle Ron, because that's what I call him.
Right.
It's the anti-Kyle Ron, where they have, like... a sob story that works and that makes you feel for this character and feel compelled to make the world right for them. While with, like, Kyle Ron, it wasn't executed great. But with Kay, like, you can feel... And I, because I'm gay, that I love...
Wait, you're gay?
Really? I didn't know that. Really? Are you sure? No. And it's also... Yeah, it's probably because I'm sure gay culture is loving Kay. Because you can feel that. You can feel what he's going through.
Right.
Because he's
really... There's also this really interesting thing with him where he was... you know, if you believe that Deckard was human, it was a human killing replicants, which is not that big a deal. But Kay...
Was killing his people.
Yeah, was a replicant killing replicants, which is a very different thing that he should have, you know, been tortured about. And was, obviously.
He was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, like, there's this whole thing. Like, in the first movie, they talk about if they live too long, at about 4 years, they start developing emotions, and that's why they die after 4 years. Which, one of the weird, just little trivia things I thought was kind of cool was Rutger Hauer, Roy, was the only replicant that we saw, like, reach his four-year thing and sort of die naturally. Like, everyone else was killed by humans.
Right.
Like, you know, you only have a four-year lifespan, and nobody can make it that long.
Right? I know.
You can't get that far without a human killing you.
It was kind of a thing. God.
Okay, Dozo,
that's
go
funny.
Ahead.
Oh, and then I have notes on being very confused about Kay's name. For the purpose of my head, it is K spelled K-A-Y. Because
just the letter K. Because it's the first letter of his serial number.
Right, because it's the first... And I feel like calling him by the first letter of his serial number is more objectifying him. Well, I feel like calling him K or... Like, I was going through my...
Special K?
Maybe? Special K. No! But going through my head was, like, names, because I don't like the name Joe very much, because it's average Joe. That's what it means.
And right. And also, that. Like, clearly it had a thing with the Joy model.
Called people Joe.
Called people Joe. And so maybe she didn't know another. Like, why would she call him Joe when that's, like, her...
There's a really interesting theory on that, which I do want to get into later. But right now, we're talking about Kay. And I was, like, going through names, like... Naming him, having him have a name that starts with K, because that's how what his serial number started out, but still being a human name would have been really interesting because
Kylo,
he is
maybe?
No, because he is like saying, well, I guess with his name he is saying that he is a replicant and he's acknowledging that,
right?
But he's also partially human. So I was What was the name I was going to give? I was calling him in my head. It wasn't Caleb, but that's the only K name I could think of right now. Caleb with a K. Even though Caleb is normally spelled with a C.
Cooper with a K?
Cooper with a K. Caleb, not Caleb. It was not Kyle, definitely. It was not Kenneth. Kenneth. His name was Kenneth. No, we'll call him Kenneth from this point on. No, but the name I decided on in my head was K spelled K-A-Y.
Okay.
I need to think of this name now because I actually really liked it. Whatever, it's fine. It started with a K.
Okay.
Anyways, K spelled K-A-Y. He is good. And more notes on him because they're all like throughout this because my thoughts were very scattered when I got home from the movie. So I was just writing them all down at once. Oh yeah, he busted through the wall like a Kool-Aid man.
He did do the Kool-Aid man thing. He totally did the Kool-Aid man thing.
Kool-Aid
and that tied back to Ready Player One, like we talked about, where the door is stronger, is super strong, so you bolt this super big security door, and then somebody just kicks in the wall next to the door, which was
so
super
funny.
And it didn't even like faze him, didn't slow him down. It was like it wasn't even there. It was full on Kool-Aid man.
I was like, and like it was a very serious scene, and you were supposed to be
crying. It
was
a serious scene, yeah.
And I was just
and there was
like,
a dog.
Oh. There was a dog.
Yeah, really cute dog.
There was such a good dog.
Yeah.
Was the like okay? And then there was this post because I was going through a Tumblr tag on it this morning, and there was this post that said, "So Blade Runner 1 is Harrison Ford a replicant or not? Blade Runner 2 is Harrison Ford's dog a replicant or not?
That's true.
The
that's
discourse true. Yeah. Is Harrison Ford dog a replicant?
Discourse.
The fight me about the usage of this word. Throw down right now.
Right.
Okay. So now that I've talked about, I've ranted about Kay for a little bit because I just hope you all know that, at the end of the movie, he was just like getting ready for a nice nap.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. 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 I mean, a sacrifice. Like we could talk about like the
napping.
Big elements and stuff. Like, there's the arcs of sacrifice and.
The thing I wanted to go off was because like throughout the movie until the very end of the movie, you kind of don't know what's going, you don't know who the. Okay, so big spoilers, but it's okay because we're talking. The girl.
Yeah.
We don't know who the end part.
We don't know who the child is.
We don't even know
it's a girl through most
of the
movie.
Right, but once we learn that it's a girl, I had three theories in my head.
Was she one of them?
Yes. Okay. Well, wait, the actual child?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
She was not.
Right.
The child, okay, so my three theories, which one of them I think would be a cool ending to the movie. So number one is that Love was the girl because she was said at the beginning of the movie, she said, oh, you have a name, you must be special.
Right.
She was a main character in the movie.
And she was right next to Jordan Catalano the whole time
when he was
looking for her.
Right, and she would have been a good choice for it, and like her interactions with Harrison Ford gave me the vibe of at least she. I thought she was the daughter.
Well, that was the thing where everybody wanted
to be the daughter,
the androids. I keep calling them the androids. The replicant said, like we all wanted it to be us.
Yeah,
right. And so that means that like part of the thing I was wondering too was with the birth. Like they were trying to symbolize like a new hope, and that there was this thing where the replicants could become their own self-sustaining people.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't feel like anybody knew about it. But then in the end, it felt like all of those replicants knew, because you can't have wanted it to be you if you didn't know it existed.
Right.
Right.
But it was also like a kind of small.
There must have been like an underground.
Yeah.
Yeah. The replicant resistance or something is what they called them.
Yeah.
And so there must have been a movement where people knew
that
the child existed.
That was really interesting. That was like kind of a Sons of Aries type thing where there are the humans that want to get rid of the replicants and the replicants that want to get rid of the humans and none of them are right.
Or maybe the replicants don't like the AI because of the whole joy slam. I don't know.
Who knows? But I thought that was really interesting.
There's always somebody above you and beneath you.
Right? Okay. So then my second theory was that the daughter was dead.
Okay.
And that Harrison Ford would take in Kay as his child.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways. Mm-hmm. Because like I'm just so used to consuming media where the main character has to be the chosen one that I was making up reasons for him to be the chosen one.
Right.
Or some other
main character.
It was
a beautiful
one.
Touch for him to not be.
I know.
And especially since he
I
had those
that.
Memories. Like that was the thing about like the identity of he had those memories.
Mm-hmm.
And so in some ways, that was him,
mm.
if you think about the memory definition of identity. And in other ways, it wasn't. Like, it's really, really cool. Right.
Yeah. And then number three is the best theory. The theory that should have been canon is that he was just trans the whole time and he was the kid. There you go. That's the theory. That's what... And I knew that was not funny. How it would end.
That's
but
funny.
That is the theory. That is the... And I honestly thought this would be a more open-ended movie.
Right.
Like, than it was. Like, we wouldn't know who the... we would have a very vague answer if right. the child was K or not.
Yeah.
And you know what? Oh, that would have been a good canon theory. That was well, my... That would be my canon theory.
They probably had all of the uncertainty they could have in the is Deckard a replicant. They couldn't add another and was
they
this
could have new, answered if Deckard was his, a replicant or not that's and true. Then done that.
That's true. Okay.
Anyways, Kay is a good boy. Anyway, so then the theory that I saw on Tumblr, which there'll be a link in the description to the person that made it. I don't remember the URL right now. But that was really interesting. It was about Joy because we clearly haven't talked about Joy enough.
we're close to our limit.
So I know. Just let me do this theory.
We're just wrapping up.
And it is that the theory is, and I do disagree with it, but because that Joy wasn't didn't have any agency and she was not sentient because the whole slogan of the Joy model mm-hmm. was, we tell you what you want to hear.
Yeah, right.
And deep down, Kay wanted to hear that he was special.
Of course.
And she kept telling him he was special.
Right.
And her purpose throughout the movie was making him feel special. Right. And making him think that he was the chosen one.
But, I don't know. At a certain point, does it matter? Again, the whole post-physical kind of thing, right?
Right.
Even if he, at one point early on, programmed her to be who he wanted to be with, but then from that point on, she was that person.
Mm-hmm.
She has less agency, but I don't know. He's still happy in the relationship, right?
Right.
And it's a weird
thing. It's weird. It's a cool theory, though.
It's a beautiful... I want to go see it again, actually.
Yes, because it was gorgeous.
Yeah, yeah.
The color... really quickly. The color palette's amazing. I was so shook by how gorgeous this movie was, and
if you haven't seen it in the theater, go see it in the theater.
Yes,
I would highly recommend seeing this one in the theater. There's not a ton of movies that I say it's different to rent it at home and watch it on your TV or mm-hmm. on your computer or something like that, but this one would be different. You should totally see it in the theater if you get a chance.
The sound design, meaning the sound effects, on point, really good.
Yep.
The sound design, meaning the soundtrack, was the one guy that only plays four notes in every Hollywood movie mm-hmm. ever, so I'm mm-hmm. kind of bitter about
Hans Zimmer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm bitter about that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's okay. And also, fair warning, I'm sure we made it clear enough, but during this movie, titties are just out all over the place. It's weird.
There was a lot more nudity in 2049.
They're just
than
out. They're there. And that's it's
true.
Very, it was surprising. I was am I allowed in this movie?
Virtual and real.
Yeah. Am I allowed in this movie was the question.
Yeah, it's an interesting.
And also, good movie. You should watch it. It invented filmmaking. It was great and fantastic. Deserved a better soundtrack. And it deserves a sequel where
they're already talking about it.
Yes, it deserves a sequel where Kay wakes up from his nice nap and he gets a nice glass of hot chocolate and everything's great.
Joy has a kid somehow.
Joy comes back to life and
pregnant.
Is she pregnant? But yeah, that's because honestly, I'm going to talk about this for a second. The main argument to not making a movie like that was because it would be boring.
Yeah.
But I would eat that
And it was super
up.
Long. It did not feel... it was almost 3 hours long and it didn't feel like it at all.
Worth
it. It was fantastic. All right, give me my homework.
Homework. Okay. Your homework is... So this is my first homework that isn't two things since you had a while ago. You had... Or no, because Doki Doki... No, I had two things. So it's my first homework that is not two things.
Yep.
And I made you a playlist, there'll be a link in the description, of the best Monster Factory videos. Because Monster Factory is created by Polygon. It has McElroy's on it. It's amazing. And it is my first piece of McElroy content that I have ever seen... That I have... first digest. No.
And what is it? Give me the five sentence summary of what I'm
five
what
sentences.
I'm be watching here.
Griffin plays with
Ditto?
Yes, Ditto. Yeah, I do call him Ditto. Griffin plays with sliders and plays with sliders and video games and makes horrifying creations while Justin cries in the background.
Awesome.
That's what the series is. It's fantastic.
Taco?
Taco? Taco?
Ditto and taco.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And it's really good. I have cried laughing during a lot of these episodes. And it is the reason why, and I'm sure you've noticed, my vocabulary now includes entirely of calling things blank boy.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
oh,
he's just just a real slow boy, or he's a genuine wrestler boy.
That's not Angus. I thought it was Angus because he's a good boy.
He is. Angus is a very good boy. Angus is my favorite.
Right.
And it does come from this show. And there's a playlist.
Link in the description to the playlist.
Yes, I'm very excited.
And we'll check it out. And then my other cool piece of trivia that I was going to throw out because of what we're saying. We've been studying for Presley to learn how to cry on cue because of her acting stuff.
That's pretty good.
And so we found like a couple of like mechanical techniques. Like there's some emotional techniques to do it, and there's some like very mechanical techniques.
Yeah.
And so one of the ones that I really love, I've been like doing just randomly. And so when we were watching Blade Runner 2049 last night, whenever one of the characters would cry, I could see they were kind of doing the thing. And then I would make myself do it and like nudge Presley, and I would have like a big like movie single tear rolling down my cheek. And so like three times during the movie last night, I just like made myself cry on cue and like was pointing it out to Presley.
Right.
It was super funny. We're going to do a video on soon. We're going to do a video on Presley and me probably both doing our fake crying and seeing how it works
out.
What are
we crying
about?
I
don't know. We'll figure something out. Look forward to that all over on the After Games channel. Yeah.
Yeah.
And until then,
bear with us.